Good morning, good morning, good morning. Oops, I got that upside down. We'll start from this direction. It'll be easier for me. So, okay. Good, well, let's get going, because now morning session starts 10:30, is that correct? Good morning.
I'm glad you're home safely from Italy.
Yeah, how did you know? Oh, good. Oh, yeah, thank you, because you were praying for me. Thank you, Jane. I was just trying to think. Oh, how sweet. We just got back from a mission trip to Italy last Sunday, so she was part of this little community group that was praying for us, so that was, anyway. Yay, so we'll go ahead and jump in, and we may have a couple more people come on in. Gosh, thanks so much for being here, some familiar faces. How many people are here for the very first time? This is like your very first. Oh, fantastic. First time ever at Mount Hermon, period? Oh, not your last. Not your last, I hope. Hope you'll be back and see us again. Some of us are big fans. I'm fortunate enough to live here because I'm on full-time staff, so I have a wonderful little cabin in the woods, which is just as cool as it sounds. Sometimes I like to know why people do the seminars that they do. Like, what brought this about? Well, last year, this exact time, we had the fall women's retreat, and there was the comments on the forum. Gals, there's spaces up here. There's a couple more in. Is that one available? Is that just holding your... Okay. Yeah, so we've got three. People can squeeze together. One more here, two more. We could even do an adjustment, probably. So we got some feedback on the comment cards, and people said, we wish that there was something about aging, that we could talk as a community, you know, of women about aging. So Sharon, my buddy, said to me, she goes, okay, so are you feeling at all called to that? Because I try to write on things that I feel God is teaching me about, and calling me to. Well, interestingly enough, last November, I turned 60. So, you know what I mean? That was like, this is appropriate timing for writing on this subject, because it was hanging out and looming in my head. So I said, yeah, I will take that on. That would be tremendous for me probably now, because I was doing a lot of thinking about that anyway. So I thought to myself at that moment in time, what can I do to step into my 60s and just kind of make a statement for myself and embrace this instead of try to avoid it. So I quit coloring my hair. Last November was, I'm coming up on my 1-year anniversary. The first week of November was the last time I colored my hair. Because I don't know about y'all that have dark hair, but it is, my line is, I was paroled from hair color prison and I'm loving my freedom, you know? Because for those of us who have dark hair, I mean, you get about 8 days in and dang, they're coming. You know what I mean? It's just, you have about a week of feeling really great that, you know, and then it's just this race to the next one. And I just got so tired of it. Now, fortunately, my father has stunning, thick, white, curly hair. So did his mom, who I take after. So I know what my future is in terms of my hair. You know, and so I'm very thankful for that. But it's been an interesting exercise for sure. For those of you who have been pregnant, it's kind of like that early stage of pregnancy when people are not quite sure you're pregnant and they're going, should we say something? The people are going, does she know her roots are showing? Is that, should I mention it to her, you know? So it was definitely good when I got to that place where people are going, oh, okay, I get it now. So that's what kind of brought about this whole thing. You know, I dug in as much as I could into scripture to try to find about what the Bible says. It's not a hot topic in the Bible. There's definitely some stuff, and I found everything I could that would relate to this. It's very much a cultural and physical thing for us. So I wish I had the answer, really, to say, who in the heck cares if you have wrinkles, crepey skin, gray hair, a little more around, who cares, right? I don't have that answer, so you can just take that off the plate right now. I wish we did, but I think part of the answer is the fact that we're daughters of the King and that we have each other, you know, and that we can speak into that. So one of the things I do want to do is, my battery's a little sluggish. There seems to be a delay, so if I'm a little behind, that's why. But in the message version of Proverbs 31, charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Here's a word I want to bring back. Festoon her life with praise. Let's retrieve festoon and bring it back again. You know, celebrate it, honor it, recognize it. So if we kind of look at that context, I mean, it's in the Bible. beauty fades. It shifts and changes in my world. It becomes internal. I mean, not that beauty doesn't change in the external to a different type of beauty, but I believe that as we age, and that's relative to where you are on the spectrum, it converts to another kind of beauty. So I have some friends, so I'm thinking, I'm gonna ask some younger gals before I write this, what they think. When they think of aging, what do they think? And so I asked the group of girls that are, I shouldn't call them girls, young ladies up at the Outdoor Science Naturalist, 25-ish in there. So I said, when you think of aging, what comes to mind to you? One of the girls said, withering away. Well, I would just like to say that's a terrible definition. Yeah, that's. So the other, one of the next girls, she goes, being old. She goes, I'm excited. She goes, I'll be a great old lady, quilting and sewing, which I thought was hilarious that she equated quilting and sewing with old ladies, which I barely do either, not quilting at all. But her friends quickly entered in. Carrie, you have to know, she currently loves to quilt and sew. That's part of her life right now. So she said she'll have more time to do the things that she likes to do now. One of the gals said stability. That's what I think about. Right now, she feels uncertain and unstable about what's coming. Kate, one of the gals, said she looks at her grandpa. He's 82, plays tennis, loves horseback riding, hot tubs, acupuncture. He's active and vital. So that's her imagery, you know, imagery of it, which is a lot of what I've been fortunate to have model in my life. Kate looks at her skin, and then she looks at her mom, because a lot of us know that genetics play into this in a significant way in terms of the way we develop. And she said she looks at her mom and thinks, okay, I'm okay with that. Look at the mother-daughter thing down there. She's darling. You're very fortunate. Yeah. Yeah, there, yeah, exactly. I feel the same way about my mom. Molly, my friend, and this is a woman that I spend time with, which we'll talk about later, the privilege we have of coming alongside younger women. Molly says she thinks about older women. They're informative, supportive, speaking into her life. They bring experience and wisdom. Gals, there's some more spots up here should you want to come on forward. Two right here, two there. Okay, just say it. Do what you want to do. But she looks forward to being that person one day, which is neat. And then she said to me, interestingly enough, no, I ran into another gal and I said to her, she was going down the stairs in the office, and I said, so when you think of aging, what do you think of? And she said, scary. I said, why do you say scary? She says, because I don't know what's ahead. And I said, so here's one of the really cool things. I can see 25. I remember 25 like it was yesterday. I said, but you can't see 60. You know, that's one of the beauties about being able to this retrospective return and looking back. Benefits, stability, growing wiser, increased wisdom. Negatives, the whole skin thing, wrinkles, crepey loose skin. And I say, yeah, that part I'm not a fan of, the whole crepe thing, for sure, right? Hey, anybody tried Crepe Erase? I'm just so tempted sometimes to order that, yeah? No, I know, that's the problem, dang it. I just keep thinking, it's a lie. Yeah, anyway. Plateauing, they said one of their negatives was plateauing, cruising, or stopping moving ahead, or fear of getting set in their ways and losing their zest for life. So those are some of the fears. And I thought, those are out of the mouths of young women. So I said, because my dad is a big Webster's guy, he's the Mr. Dictionary, so I always have to look up the definition of everything in honor of my dad. Definition of aging in the dictionary, the process of growing old. Yuck. Yeah. I don't know. I just said, I'm just going to change that up. So what I then looked at was, anybody read any Richard Rohr? Any Richard Rohr studiers? Yeah. He's pretty unique guy. I'm doing a lot of work in contemplative study and stuff. This book is called It's Falling Upward. It's a spirituality for the two halves of life. And I'm going to be referencing some to him. But he talks about the container, that we have a container and what we put inside the container. So I rewrote the definition. Because to me, I want to look at aging from a different standpoint. I want to look at it as the passing of a soul through time to gain in wisdom. That's how I want to look at aging, because that is a joyful reflection. So that is now container aging, not container aging, that is soul aging. Carl Jung says, one cannot live the afternoon of life according to the program of life's morning. For what was great in the morning will be of little importance in the evening, and what in the morning was true will at evening have become a lie. So if those of us that are more in the evening portion of our lives, we can look back and see a little bit of that right here. For those of you on the younger side of things, know that that may be true of some of the things that you will experience now that you believe. Carl Jung. Yeah, Carl Jung, the psychologist, yeah. The Structure and Dynamic of the Psyche. That's from his book. Yeah, don't read the whole thing, it's probably pretty heavy. But so from the moment we are born until the moment we pass through into heaven, I said this yesterday when I was up there, we are in the aging process. We cannot get out of it. For us to get out of it means we would cease to exist, right? But it's interesting, something that all of us do, how we are so deeply impacted, how it so deeply impacts, I should say, our sense of self-worth and our sense of value as we age. This is the book that I was talking about, Spirituality for the Two Halves of Life. Richard Rohr says this, there is much evidence on several levels that there are at least two major tasks to the human life. The first task is to build a strong container or identity. The second is to find the contents of that goes into that container. That container was meant to hold. The first task we take for granted is very much the purpose of life. Many of us, we think this is what it was all about. Growing, learning, educated, home, finances, children, grandchildren. But he second guesses that as being part of the first stage. The second task, I am told, is much more encountered than sought. Few arrive at it with much pre-planning, purpose, or passion. So you might wonder if there's much point in providing a guide to the territory ahead of time, which is this book. Yet that is exactly why we must. It is vitally important to know what is coming and what is being offered to us. If we can look into the aging process as something that gives us truth to put into that container, we can rethink the way we think of aging. And I said this yesterday too, we are a first half of life culture, largely concerned about surviving successfully, not necessarily thriving. So when we are born, we are beautiful and rosy and fresh and shiny and smooth and perfectly beautiful, aren't they? Yeah, I know. No crepey skin at all, just adorableness, right? But then we get to this place where we go, okay, so birthdays become a big deal, right? So we hit this, in my world, this aging timeline, and we get to that place and we say, okay, I am 5 years old. I am now in kindergarten, I'm 5 years old, this is a big deal. And then we get to that spot of 13. That's a super cool age, right? You are now officially, at least from a kid point of view. From a parental perspective, it may be a little bit less than that, right? So then you get to that place where you're 16 years old. Now I can drive. I've got my license. I'm starting to get a little autonomy here. And then you hit that 18 mark, where now you can literally vote. You can serve our country. And unfortunately, you can legally buy cigarettes. Then we get to that place of 21. Now you can drink, at least legally, right? And then you get to that quarter century mark. Does anybody remember what you, 25, thinking I'm a quarter of a century old? Yeah, yeah, because then it sounds so much older, doesn't it, when you bring that century mark into it. I was in Germany when I turned 25, traveling with a friend after college and stuff, and I remember thinking that I'm a quarter of a century old. And then it's a weird thing. There's transition starts to happen where we stop kind of running towards birthdays, and we start maybe taking a little bit of a walk towards that birthday. Then we say to ourselves, when is that point where you start kind of backpedaling to the birthdays, right? So we get, is it 30 years old when you hit that place? Is it 40? Because 40 years old is sometimes that, start to be a little reflective birthday. 50 years of age, could it be 60? 60 was a biggie for me. Interestingly, when my sister turned 50. My sister Vanna, she's 2 years older than I am. She said to me, she goes, Carrie, don't tell anybody how old I am. I said, why is that? She goes, because I've never been married and I'm 50 years old. And people make decisions and judgments about you because of that. My sister was engaged a couple times, but she made the wise decision that that was not the right person for her. Unlike me, who was fortunate enough to be abandoned by my husband right before my 50th birthday. So my 50th was not my favorite, let me tell you. But I did re-celebrate at 51, so that was good. So she said that, and then you get to that place where you're in the 70s, and that, you know, let me reflect real quickly. At 60, here's one of those things. At 60, people can say to you now, "Oh, you don't look 60," you know. And then I want to say to them, "So what exactly does 60 look like?" Because it's all over the board anymore, you know. And you know where you can really see it? High school reunions. Like, whoa, we are all the same age, you know. What happened? Isn't it? Remember the guy with the super cool long hair now has no hair, bless his heart, and you're like, what happened? So I would say, what is that? And my dad, when he turned 80, he said, "Don't tell anybody how old I am. I don't want to party. I don't want a bunch of people." And I said, "Why, Dad?" He said, "Honey, because when people see that you're 80 years old, they start making decisions about you and what you're capable of." And my dad is a rock star at 89. He's all over the place. And so I can kind of recognize that now, especially as I get older. Here's a funny thing that happened to me at church last spring. Yeah, because I had already turned 60. This woman at church who I'd never met before, she walks up to me. I'm a barista on Sundays out of the coffee cart at my church. And so I was out there in the coffee shop, and this gal walks up to me, and she goes, "Hi, Carrie, my name is Kathy. I've seen you around for years. I just wanted to tell you, I've noticed that your hair color is changing." You know? And I said, "Yes, it is." She goes, "I just wanted to say, I like it better dark." And I said, "All righty." She goes, "Does that offend you?" And if she only knew me, I thought, oh no, that totally encourages me. Yeah. So she just said, "You're just so young to have gray hair." I said, "Isn't it interesting, Kathy? I'm the exact same age with my hair dyed as I am with my hair undyed." You know what I mean? Doesn't make any difference. And I said, if my beauty, vitality, and all that stuff is dependent on the color of my hair, I'm doing something wrong. I want that to come out of here. I want it to come out of my eyes. I want it to come out of my words. So I said, therein lies the challenge. And then you get to that space of 80 and 90, and then you begin to just celebrate it, right? People are going, "Woo, 80, 90, that is awesome." Because a lot of people don't live that long, right? So my daddy's birthday is coming up, his 90th is coming up in January. And I said to him, "Pop, we're gonna celebrate your birthday, but we can do it just with we have a very small little family, there's just 6 of us total. If you invite the cousins and stuff, it gets insane." But I said, they live in Oklahoma and I'm going back next week, so we're gonna talk about that. I said, "I wanna recognize and celebrate your birthday because I'm very thankful that you're still here and that I still have a daddy at 60. A lot of people don't have that. The anti-aging industry is a multi-million dollar, probably multi-billion dollar industry, right? Think of the supplements and the skincare, the cosmetics, the fitness trends that we use to stay young and vital, along with cosmetic surgeries and procedures. As a culture, we spend a fortune trying to stave off the inevitable signs of growing older, so we will remain of worth and relevance in our culture, right? So I looked at this study that was done of the 5 things that women fear most. It was done by an organization in Great Britain. They looked at 12 different countries. And interestingly enough, China was the most fearful country when it came to aging. Y'all know why? Who's gonna take care of them? They can only have one child, right? So women fear, who's gonna take care of me when I'm older, right? Gotta love this, the French, the least concerned, right? 1/3 of French respondents said they don't even think about aging until after 80. I mean, old. Old doesn't even happen until after aging. I mean, after 80, right? I keep confusing aging and 80 all the time. Till after 80. So I thought, right on, you know? Let's consider that as a starting point for us. So as we look at this, the number one fear is losing attractiveness and becoming invisible. Can you relate? Because here's the deal. Like I said earlier, those of us who are older, we still remember the younger. And I'm going to be super transparent with you and tell you, there are times as a woman that I can see a guy and think, dang, he is cute. And I'm thinking, oh, criminy, he could be my grandson at this point. You know? He would be, you know, does anybody get that? Yeah, hello. He would be paralyzed, of course, but you know, I'm thinking, just between us girls. So the fear fighter on that is self-care, right? We are the age that we are, but we can be the very best age we are. We don't succumb and give up and stop taking care of ourselves because it's all going to hell in a handbasket anyway. Heck no. We'd be the very best 50, the very best 60, the very best 80. So take care of yourself. We'll talk more about that. Being left alone is the number two fear. Left alone. Know that even though as you get older, losing a spouse, losing your children, moving away from family and friends, and losing touch is a big concern. Interestingly enough, as you get older, we have fewer and fewer relationships. In fact, I have a friend who's 101. And I wanted to take her out for lunch after her 100th birthday. I said, Jerry, I want to take you out and do something and celebrate. This is fantastic. And she said, well, honey, you know, problem is that I just have a really hard time hearing out in places right now. And she goes, my eyes are super sensitive to light, so I like to keep things dark. And it's just really hard for me to see. So the bottom line is she has become in a space that is more confined for her because she's comfortable there. I said, can I come over and see you and bring you a little something, something? And she goes, oh, I just appreciate you thinking of me, you know? And I said, well, I do. And so she loves music, so we send her some of Dave Talbot's CDs for her to listen to because she can still do that. But I had interviewed her previously for an article before her 100th birthday, and she said, the reality is I really don't have any friends left anymore. You know, that's a hard truth. I cannot relate to that, but that's the truth. When you get to be that old, you're pretty much at the top of the heap. So that's a reality for that, being left alone. Becoming a bag lady, that's another thing, financial destitution. And it is true that the reality is that widows are often left in worse financial shape than widowers. So I don't know how you address that at this moment, but the cool part about this is that boomers and Gen Xers are turning the corner on this as they're becoming more responsible about sequestering and saving money early on. One of the proudest days of my life was when my son called me up. He's 29. And he said to me, Mama, what is your, this is about 4 years ago, he goes, what is your social, I want to put you on as my my beneficiary for my 401k. And I went, oh, Lord God, thank you. Yes, sir. Yeah. Something got through. Dang, yeah. So anyway, those are the kind of things. And it says squirreling away even small amounts of money or savings each month pays off big time. The next one, fear, is cancer, which is probably not surprising. Particularly breast cancer is what women fear. But you know the number one killer for women of health, right? Heart disease, there you go. A lot of that, some of it could be genetic, most of it is based on lifestyle and diet, okay? So, but interestingly, breast cancer just is more glaring in our world in terms of women. So one of the, you know, fear fighters on that is obviously is a healthy lifestyle, keep up checkups and screenings. And then last one is becoming dependent on others in this study they looked at. Both genders dread becoming a burden. Yeah, I can totally relate to that. I'm already thinking about what I can do to make sure that my son never feels concerned about me the way I'm worried about my parents financially. You know, I'm looking at long-term health care and all these kind of things that, because I worry about my parents financially, I don't want Ren to ever go through that. So as we look at that, so the basic fear fighters on plan ahead. Do basic advanced healthcare planning, assign a power of attorney, make a living will, and look into long-term healthcare. You know, the reality is we don't know when my day to meet Jesus could be next Wednesday, right? You think, oh, my plan is I'm gonna be 100, I'm gonna be on a bicycle ride, and I keel over dead. That's the plan. But I don't know what God's plan is for me. And here's the reality is my little sister passed away when she was 36 years of age. She had cystic fibrosis, so the day that she died, we didn't know she was going to die that day. She had slipped into a coma, her lungs weren't working, and we literally had to hold her hand in she was just about to slip in, hold her hand to sign a power of attorney for my mom, because she hadn't planned that. She was super organized on so many levels, but she didn't know she was going to die that week, right? So think about that. Think about what you're doing for the people that you love that are going to be left behind, okay? So those are that, looking at that. One of the things I think about with the things that women fear, you know what the scripture says about fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and of self-control. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. That's where Satan wants us to live, in a state of fear. We can't give him that joy. There is no, the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Unfortunately, we just don't have to fight aging inside of us. We also fight it in our culture. But there are cultures that revere and recognize what the beauty of aging, right? For us, It is very much a bio, it's not a biological, it's cultural. Different cultures have different attitudes and practices around aging and death. These cultural perspectives can have a huge impact on our experience of getting older. Some of the countries that look at this, Eric Erickson argues that the Western fear of aging keeps us from living a full life. I made a statement yesterday that kind of, you know, there's that 50, that invisible line that you pass over that a lot of people think, gosh, I'm in my latter years. Well, baloney. I'm thinking, why don't you just keep going up until you fall off, right? Don't do this. Don't determine that for yourself. Lacking a culturally viable idea of old age, our civilization does not really harbor a concept of whole life. There's this half-life. So if we think about that. So some of the cultures that celebrate aging and respect for their elders, Greece. Let me just go over here. We'll look at these just a little bit more. So Greece, old man isn't a bad word in Greek, right? In Greek and Greece, Greek-American cultures, old age is honored and celebrated, and there's respect for the elders. It is central to the family. So I think most of us think about my big fat Greek wedding. You know what I mean? It doesn't just come to mind. So hang on, I'm trying to find it. I think I may have jumped ahead. Yesterday I was in my notes here, and I feel like I got them out of order. Hang on here with me, girls. Yeah? Okay. Okay, I'll just read from here, so excuse me. So the Native American culture, and that culture, elders passed down. Think about it from the movies. I know this is a terrible way to look at it, but if you think about how the old chiefs and stuff, how they passed down wisdom, that's true in our Native American culture still. They traditionally accept death as a fact of life, not something to be feared so much. Korea, elders are highly respected. Let me just put up China here too, because this has to do a lot with the Asian cultures. Filial piety is a fundamental value dictating that one must respect one's parents. Filial piety and brotherly respect are the root of humanity in Asian cultures, right? So children are expected in Chinese culture to care for their parents in old age. To abandon one's family is considered deeply dishonorable. I think we can take some of those things into our own culture. Of course, spiritually, Jesus calls us to take care of the widows and the orphans, right? India, elders are the head of the family. African-American cultures, the community sees death as an opportunity to celebrate life, which is beautiful. And in ancient Rome, interestingly, just coming back from Italy too, I saw this because we were able to spend time with some of the families from these churches we were working with. Elders are a precious resource. The Romans made use of their elderly, and they had faith in their wisdom and their experience. So as we go from there and we think about the things that we are trying to go against, the most obvious in that is the physical aging process. So remembering that charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Who fears the Lord. It just says it right there. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fading. So I saw this and it just cracked me up. I'm super hoping I'm not offending anybody by this, but for those of you who can't say it, she goes, mine used to be an eagle too. Right? If I offended you, please talk to me later. So, as we age, we have normal expectations of aging. Gradual changes that will occur. So your genetics have an impact on your aging, as you know. But your lifestyle has an even more powerful impact on your aging. You can't control genetics, but you can control what you do with your lifestyle. You may or may not experience all the changes, but a healthy lifestyle can definitely slow down some of these. First one, we're just going to run through these. A lot of these you'll know, but I want you to remember these are normal parts of aging. So the skin becomes less elastic, more lines and wrinkles. Oil production slows down, leading to drier skin. Anybody experiencing some drier skin? Yeah. Hair. So normal for hair to gradually thin on the scalp and the armpits and the pubic area. As hair pigment declines, you also see an increase in gray and white hair. There you go. Height, I've gone down a quarter inch. But by 80, it's common to have lost as much as 2 inches. And we know that this is due to primarily posture, compression of joints and the spinal discs, and bones. There's a lot. We're going to talk about what you can do to help offset these. Hearing. Changes in hearing start happening where the higher frequency, the lady yesterday in the front row goes, what? I'm sorry. She said, start happening with higher frequencies, and this begins accelerating at age 55. That's when you start to see some of these things. Vision, I'm just a great example of that. Most people in their 40s develop a need for reading glasses. It's so common, it's hilarious now. I was in church one day, I was visiting a church down in Southern California, and I had forgotten my glasses, and literally I'm struggling trying to read my Bible, and this hand reaches over and hands me a pair of reading glasses. Literally, we all get it. Oh, hold on, I've got my readers. And it's just because the shape of our eye changes. So we just don't see the same. That's all it is. Night vision and visual sharpness can also begin to decline. Sleep, this one I'm pretty annoyed about is the whole sleep thing. Isn't that frustrating? I know, I don't know what is going on with that. But you know, some of it is hormones. Some of it is just natural changes in sleeping. Okay, I'm just so annoyed about where these went. Ah! Okay, hang on, gals, I'm sorry. Just the way I'm wired, it will be very distressing for me if I, I'm back in order, okay. Okay, sleep. So changes in sleep, and that circadian rhythm, part of that, and part of it is just gonna be hormonal. We tend to sleep less. We don't sleep as deeply. We wake up earlier as you age, right? My mom, it's interesting. My mom is gonna be 85 in December. She's still substitutes at the high school. That's the kind of example I have, it's great. But she said the same thing. She wakes up like this, but 2 to 5 watch. She goes, I tend to pray during that time. Her best sleep is between 5 and 9. Yeah. So my dad just says, I just don't wake her up. I just let her sleep till she's done, because she's better that way, you know, when we have rest. My mother's adorable. Come on now. Anyway, so bones become less dense and strong in both men and women due to loss of mineral content. And this is one reason we hear so much about bones breaking as we age. So you can slow down that natural progress, as you know, by exercise, regular walking, weight-bearing exercises, getting enough calcium, vitamin D, and avoiding lifestyle things that weaken bones, like being sedentary and smoking. Here's one of my little things. Carry heavy things. Lift heavy things. Don't let people carry everything for you because you're older. That is a natural way to do weight training by just lifestyle. Like, I have 17 stairs into my cabin. Right, so I've got to go up the stairs every time I go in and out of my cabin. So I come home from like a load in the Trader Joe's or Costco, and you've got the multiple bags, heavy bags. Well, you want to make as few trips as possible, right? Isn't that our natural? I think I can get almost all these. And sometimes I'm just walking up the stairs like this. But I just changed the way I look at that. That is great. You are taxing your bones. You are stressing them and making them work harder. So there's just a little tip. There's a whole nother seminar on that I can get off on. So metabolism and body composition, another area I'm super annoyed about. But over time, the body typically needs less energy and your metabolism slows down, okay? Hormones change in the aging body, resulting in a shift to more body fat and less muscle mass. So the best approach to managing these changes is to take in fewer calories. That's why I think my parents have started doing this. Their little portions are like these little tiny portions now. Which, of course, I should really start adopting that practice. But they'll go out to the restaurant, and they'll order one thing and split it. Yeah, and it's just a great way that's the reality of things. So the best way is to take in fewer calories while keeping or increasing your physical activity. Don't start slowing down. So strength training is an especially good way to build or keep up your muscle mass. When your muscle mass is reduced, you know, muscle mass burns more calories than fat mass. When muscle mass is reduced, your basal metabolic rate goes down. You just burn less calories overall, even when you sleep. So you want to keep that going as much. So building or keeping your muscle mass allows your metabolism to remain the same or potentially increase, which is great. Brain and nervous system, we're going to talk about that in just a minute. So looking at the heart and the circulation, the heart naturally becomes less efficient as we age. Your heart has to work a little harder during activities than it did in the past. And this heart makes your heart muscle larger. As a result, you'll notice a gradual decline in your energy or your endurance from one decade to the next. You can absolutely resist and fight this. I'm watching this in my dad right now. It's really hard for me. My dad is starting to fold, which kills me because he was in the Marine Corps and he was ramrod straight. My high school was him tapping me between the shoulder blades. Honey, get your shoulders back, get your shoulders. It was so annoying to me, but I'm so glad he did it. Now I want to do it to him, but I'm fearing that's kind of disrespectful. So I shouldn't be, get your shoulders back, Dad. Get your shoulders back, Dad. But my dad has started doing less. he started to become more sedentary, and I've really noticed it in this last year, which is sad but true. He goes, honey, I just don't have the energy. Of course, I want to tell him, Papa, get out and move. He's a voracious reader and studier and all that stuff. But it's his journey. You know, when I'm 90, people can tell me what to or not. Anyway. Your lungs, okay, so your lungs, in inactive people, we see a theme here, right? Activity is hugely important. The lungs become less efficient over time, supplying the body with less oxygen, so regular physical activity plays a key role in keeping things moving and going and strong. Kidneys, so with advancing age, the kidneys decline in size and function. They don't clear wastes and medicines from the blood as quickly, and they don't help the body handle dehydration as well as in the past. So this makes it increasingly important that you minimize toxins that you're taking in, the amount of alcohol and unnecessary medication that you take in, and drink plenty of water to help your kidneys continue to flush and do the best they can, because they are a cleansing agent. Urinary incontinence. So, yeah, I know. What do you say? Age-related changes in the urinary system, decreased mobility, and some medication side effects can all lead to urinary incontinence. This does not have to be a normal part of aging, okay? I think the all sneeze, oops, kind of peed my pants. That's a very natural part of aging. But urinary incontinence where you literally can't control, there are things that you can do to help. And if you have issues with that, go see a doctor, you know, and talk with them about that. Sexual function, men and women produce lower levels of hormones starting in their 50s. Men produce less sperm and their sexual response time slows. Women stop ovulating and have a number of menopausal changes linked to lower estrogen production. As a single Christian woman, I have hardly any memory of this anymore, so. Anyway, moving on. I know that's a lot to take in for those of you who are like under 40 going, ah! Right. Growing older, there's some challenges, but a lot of it just rocks. I love it, all right? So I just had to put this picture up of beautiful women because I just love all these beautiful women. And that little woman right there is my mama. Yeah. That joy comes right out of her eyes and her heart. It's not even the best picture of her, but she's just so darling. I love her. She'll be 85 in December. Yeah. That's about 5 years ago. I said to my mom, I said, Mom, did you ever color your hair? Because my mother's hair is about down to here right now, and it's got these super cool streaks. It's like a natural highlighted hair. It's not all white. It's gray and brown. All this stuff. She goes, honey, we colored our hair in high school when I was that age. My grandma was a beautician. So she goes, that's when we colored our hair. We did all the experimental stuff in high school, but she's never colored her hair as an adult. You know, so I think, so that's a great role model. Anyway, okay.
So white as the new blonde.
Isn't it true? And you see these gals. I saw one at the airport. She was, 30. She had this silver hair and these crazy braids. So that's the best time ever if you want to make the jump. I have a friend who's 84. She said, I will never quit coloring my hair, Carrie, ever. And I said, okay. She goes, I've already talked to my colorist. If I go in the hospital in a coma, she's coming to take care of my hair. It's so independent, you know? If I could afford to have somebody come do my hair every 2 weeks, I probably would. So there you go. So 10 ways to slow up the aging process. One is to ditch the sugar. This is no news. Sugar is not good for us. One of the things that sugar does is, of course, it increases the amount of cortisol and some of the negative hormones that happen in our body. Excess sugar dehydrates our collagen supply. We want all the collagen and elastin we can get at this point. Go gluten-free. Now, this is completely apart from gluten intolerance, but and I don't want to get into a whole gluten debate, right? There's a whole thing. But there are some things. There's a lot of glutens in processed foods and that kind of thing. So if you think about that, that's another thing that spikes blood sugar levels, which is not good. Drink more water. Chronic dehydration is a common culprit of aging. Water helps us restore our elasticity. Reduce stress. Like a lot of this stuff, this is just reviewing things we know, gals. Reducing stress. Stress elevates cortisol levels, which robs the body of essential minerals. You know, cortisol and cortisone is our, cortisol is the stress hormone, right? So when we're stressed out, that's it. One of the things that does, it helps keep us from sleeping well. I shouldn't say it helps keep it. It keeps us from sleeping well. And it also helps pack on fat right there. Isn't that your favorite part where they want the fat to live? Right here? No. It's that whole back thing going, what happened there? Where did that come from? And then load up on antioxidants. So antioxidants help fight free radicals. Free radicals are the things that break down and attack our skin and oxidize, like the paint job on a car. That's oxidation. That's what happens to our skin, our cells, and those things can cause premature aging. Then also eat some more protein. Protein is essential for repairing and constructing tissue. So we want to be able to get that. It helps keep our cortisol levels stable and lower. Lifting weights. So lean muscle mass burns more calories more efficiently. We just talked about that. Use natural beauty remedies. So remembering this, you all know this. Your skin is your biggest organ. Everything you put on your skin goes into your body. So think about the quality of skincare products and lotion that you are putting on your body. Okay? Those things can be detrimental. So I'm going to give you a little tip. Two things that you can look at getting out of your skincare: mineral oil and petroleum. Okay? Look at the back of your lotion container. They're cheap. They keep your skin real moisturized, but they're occlusive. It blocks the flow, and they are a petroleum-based product. They put them in everything. So here, I actually brought this today. I didn't bring this yesterday. So years ago, I went down to New Leaf Market, which is now Wild Roots down here, and I was looking for some sunscreen because I thought, I got to start using some sunscreen. So I was talking to the gal. There's one of the naturalists down there. They have great naturals. So she said, Kat said to me, she goes, what are you looking for, Carrie? And I said, I got to find some sunscreen. She goes, best sunscreen. She said, extra virgin, organic, imported olive oil. Not from California, because sometimes we slightly heat ours, she said. Imported olive oil, she said, and lavender essential oil. She said, think about Mediterranean skin. They consume olive oil, and they also use olive oil on their skin. So this is literally what I did. This is what I use. I had this little bottle that was from some vitamin C spray I had years ago. So I thought, that's a great little bottle. So I washed it out. So this has got extra virgin organic imported olive oil. And then I put 8 drops of lavender essential oil. And just because I have it, I put 8 drops of lemongrass oil, both healing natural properties. She said, that's a wonderful natural sunscreen. And it also is a moisturizer. Literally, I put that all over me every day. My face, my arms, my neck, my hair. My skin is dry. And I'll even add it to lotion. So that's just a little, should you be, and you're more than welcome to try some afterwards. So I thought, I'm going to bring it up here with me. Okay, so think about what you're putting on your skin.
Because mm-hmm. That was like life-changing.
Okay.
Extra virgin, say that what kind of olive oil?
Extra virgin, organic,
yeah.
Imported. And literally the one I use is from Trader Joe's. It's their Greek, organic,
yes,
imported,
yeah.
Unfiltered. Yeah. It's $6, $7 a bottle or whatever. Okay.
You said that was a moisturizer. How does that work with
sunscreen? Yeah. The essential lavender oil and that is her thing. Now, that is from Kat, the naturalist okay? So she's very knowledgeable. I've been using that. I have started using additional sunscreen as well. I'll talk about that in a little bit. That was after a trip to the dermatologist. That was depressing. So anyway, yeah. All right. So get more sleep. Okay, back to get more sleep. Lack of sleep can cause that hormonal cascade that increases cortisol levels. Talked about that. Eat more fat, healthy fats, not just eat more fat in general, eat more healthy fats. Avocados, fish, olive oil, all of those good fats, nuts and seeds help nourish your skin from the inside out, okay? So if you know that there's ways to slow aging, there's also ways, things that you can do that are gonna, to increase aging, you're gonna be able to lead to premature aging as well. So this is, conversely, this is a lot of the opposite stuff, worrying too much. So as you know, stress increases your cortisol levels. We don't want to do that. Increases your blood level, and it helps impact cognitive decline. It helps decrease your cognitive decline more rapidly, stressed as it also increases the risk of cardiovascular disease. Okay, not having a regular skincare routine. This doesn't just mean cleansing and moisturizing morning and night. That's really important for your skin to keep it healthy, but also drinking water, consuming water, staying hydrated. That's one of the best things to help keep our skin firmer. Bad eating habits. Think fruits and vegetables. They're your best friends. Orange, purple, green, red, yellow, all the beautiful colors are the antioxidants. I know you know this. So think about that, plus those good healthy fats, clean protein. Think about things that are live, that are closest to the natural source, right? Hot Pockets, how far away are they from the natural? I don't know where the natural source was with the hot pocket. Anyway, you know what I mean, okay? So think about that. Lack of exercise is huge, okay? So we got to remember, you all know the law of inertia. An object in motion stays in motion until stopped by a movable force, and then vice versa, something that's not in motion stays not in motion unless, boom, impacted. Okay, so here's my law of inertia. Move your body some way every day. You don't have to train for a marathon. It just gets me, I'm going to go do sets of stairs. I'm just going to walk a little further today. I'm going to go lift some garbage, do some yard work. I'm going to go, whatever it is. Just move a little every day and don't succumb. Because once you start succumbing, harder and harder to get moving again. Neglecting your sleep, that's a big one. As you know, sleep is hugely restorative. It is the time that we can not only restore ourselves physically, but also I think mentally and spiritually, it's that rest time. Not using sunscreen, so I went to the dermatologist last December. I hit my deductible, so you know how it is. You're going, what can I do now? Who can I go see? So I went to the dermatologist, yeah. And I went to the dermatologist, and she said to me, gosh, your skin is great in terms of not being prone to skin cancer. You know, I mean, I have that kind of hardy skin that way. But she went through, and she started pointing out all of my polka dots, as I call them. And she's saying to the gal who's charting me, she's pointing to everything going, and she's using the medical term, da-da-da-da-da. All I hear is sun damage, sun damage, sun damage, sun damage, sun damage. Yeah, it's all that. So I went out, bought the big sun hat from Costco, you know. I'm slapping on a little extra Neutrogena on my face, you know. And a lot of us depend on our foundation and stuff to give us that coverage, you know, here a little bit more. And slap on that olive oil, because who knows, it could really help. So not using sunscreen. Smoking, as we know, is another highly unhealthy habit that will undoubtedly speed up the aging process, plus those darn wrinkles around the mouth thing. Long-term smoking can cause your teeth to become yellow. It'll wreak havoc on your teeth and cause many fine wrinkles. Hey, I just thought of that. The teeth thing, you can help your teeth be a little whiter. Yellowing teeth, I think that is a thing that we can do that's not a super vain thing. But just a little Crest strips, do a little rinse with hydrogen peroxide. You can help, and that helps brighten up our faces. We don't have to let our teeth get yellow and stained. That's a total sidebar. I've never said that before, but I think about it, you know. Just we get a little Crest rinse at night that I use, those little things. Right, so acid and those kind of things, acidic foods eat away that enamel, so you can use an enamel. Yep, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I know. Anyway, you're just damned if you do and damned if you don't, aren't you? No matter what you do. And then the eighth one is the lack of regular sex. Like I said before, I don't know how to. Here's my address to that. If you can still get yourself some, get it. All right. So, you know, it's good for you on so many levels. It's good for your marriage. It's good for your, you know, your body. Do it for those of us who can't. Dang it. Get in there. Storm the castle. Okay. No. Like I said, I'm 60. I'm not dead. All right? So anyway. So we know how bad stress is. So I thought about this one. I thought about this scripture for that. Do not worry. And it's funny because Debbie's talking about this. Do not worry about tomorrow because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble. Let's just focus on being here, right? Because then we can help be in the present. Let's experience the present instead of borrowing things that don't exist yet. It says here also, David talks about, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He is mine forever. I love that. So it's inevitable that just like our external bodies, our brains will grow older as well. So this does not mean that our intelligence, our hunger for knowledge, or our ability to contribute diminishes at all. In fact, it should accelerate at this point because you just think of all that great knowledge that we have. We may have to process a little longer to retrieve information than when we were younger, but that does not invalidate the knowledge and the wisdom that we're able to impart. We need to remember that we have a lot more in our mental Rolodexes than we did in younger years. And if you're under 30, ask a friend what a Rolodex is. So, yeah. I have people that still have those. I love that. So as we look at mental aging, we look at the brain. I told you we're going to look at the brain and nervous system. So starting in the third decade of life, the brain's weight actually starts to shrink and its nerve networks change and its blood flow decreases. Once again, exercise. Thank you. But the brain adapts to these changes, and it grows new patterns of nerve endings. Memory changes are a normal part of the aging process. That's normal to have to struggle a little more. It's common to have less recall of recent memories and to be slower remembering names and details. You can help keep your brain healthy and sharp. Engage in regular social activity. Do not isolate yourself. Stay engaged with friends and family. Take classes. Learn, here, I was going to say, challenge yourself to learn and do something new. Whether it's a cooking course or a dance class or you've taken an art class or learn an instrument at 70. Who says you can't? You know, I just said to myself, what am I going to do this year? I think I'm going to get my spin certification. So next year, when we're back here together, ask me. Carrie, did you get your spin certification? Okay. So be physically active to increase blood flow and oxygen to the brain. Very obvious. Do mental games, crossword games, Sudoku, read, memorize scripture, play chess, all those kind of things. Here's a little something I heard about this, though. Your brain can even become accustomed to the same, even though those are good brain stimulators, if you do the same kind of thing all the time. So introduce something new to shake it up a little bit. My dad's a crazy crossword and Sudoku puzzle. That's part of his little routine in the morning, his cup of tea, and he does that, which is great. He's an avid reader. His mind is incredibly sharp. But I'm going to talk with him about what can you do that's just introduce something new. Move your fingers. Do activities that require small muscle movement. Chopsticks, knitting, playing the piano, stringed instrument, painting, whatever it is. This stimulates brain activity. And then also use your non-dominant hand. You know, that has to cross over on the other side. It makes you think a little more. Now, don't use it to pour boiling water or start a fire. So don't use that. Use your strong hand for that. Be smart about it. So those are just easy things. I want to really quickly just touch on dementia because, like, who doesn't touch on dementia? It's everywhere. I don't know if we have more of it now or it's just more, we're more aware of it. But dementia is just a group of symptoms that affect memory and reasoning. Group of symptoms that affect memory and reasoning. An umbrella term, this is an umbrella term that Alzheimer's falls under, okay? Alzheimer's is not dementia. It's a form of dementia. It goes underneath. People can have more than one type of dementia, and dementia is not a natural part of aging. Really? Memory, slowing of memory, natural part of aging. Dementia, not, okay? So we don't have to accept that. There's a lot of things, as you know, that can help. We just talked about them to keep that fresh. Healthy lifestyle, diet, exercise, mentally stimulating games, prayer, activities, reducing stress, all of those things help contribute to keeping our mind sharp as possible. Okay, now here's the best part. This is the part I've been waiting for. So, okay. Are y'all okay if we get out of here a quarter after? Okay, 7:00. Okay. Maybe sooner, but I just wanted to prepare you for that. There's no children in childcare, so you can't use that as an excuse, right? Okay, so gray hair is a crown of glory. It is gained by living a godly life. So as we look at this, without a doubt, this is the best part of growing older. Because in Corinthians, Paul says, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, and really they're kind of dying from the day we were born, even though they're growing, they're dying, right? Are being born, are dying. Our spirits are being renewed every day. Every day. I love that. Without a doubt, I would not trade where I am right now, exchanged in my spiritual life, and the crazy love I have for Jesus. Much of that has been gained through the hardships and the stuff that I've been through in my life and how God has showed up for me over and over again. I would not trade that right now for no wrinkles around my eyes and dark hair. Not in a heartbeat, and I can say that authentically. Richard Rohr says, the second half of life can hold some new wine because by then there should be some strong wineskins, some tested ways of holding our lives together. But that normally means that the container itself has to stretch and die in its present form, or even replace itself with something better. This is the big rub, as they say, but also the very source of our midlife excitement and discovery. It's like we're trading one for the other. As this part changes, this part blossoms. I have truths now in my 20s and 30s and 40s that I did not have. I have truths now at 60 that I did not have in my 20s, 30s, or 40s. The wisdom that I have now because of the experience of my life is truly priceless. The mistakes I made in my younger years through my own insecurity and youth and in many ways stupidity, they're behind me now. It's not that I don't make plenty of mistakes. They're definitely new ones. But what I can do is I can call up certain types of lessons that I learned, and I can make a decision now looking back and going, that turned out badly twice. I think I'm going to say no this time to that, you know? What do they say? Two times, you know, third time, shame on me. First. So I am able to use those reference points. And it says here in Job, is not wisdom found among the aged? Does not long life bring understanding? You know, there's just not wise seven-year-olds, well, except for Jesus, but wise seven-year-olds, right? It takes time to acquire that. I have had decades of God showing up and rescuing and helping me. So now when I face hardships, trials, and heartaches, and feelings of not knowing what to do, I have a much greater peace knowing that God is at work. He is working in the spiritual realm and orchestrating things that I cannot see yet, because he's done it over and over again. He doesn't have to prove it to me anymore. Sometimes I wish the timetable was different, but that's the way it is. If we embrace the spiritual growth that comes from loving and learning and seeking Jesus over years and years, we can absolutely use it to bless others in so many ways. As women who are older, now that number is arbitrary depending on where you are on the scale. 32 is older than 25, right? 44 is older than 38. So we can slide all the way up. Just an older person, you just have to be this much further ahead than a younger person to come alongside them. We have the opportunity to come alongside younger women and sometimes younger men as well and pour into them. We can listen to them, encourage them, speak truth into them, and have them invite us, should they invite us, to help give them counsel and seek that. Remember, it needs to be an invitation. They don't need to be told what to do. And there's no judgment. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Remember that. It's hard to go. I used to say that I wanted to live a life without regret. And then I ran across this. Anybody read Brené Brown? Yeah. So I'm a big Brené Brown fan. So I've read all of her books and stuff. And sometimes she says stuff that's like, whoa. So I said to myself that I want to I want to live a life of without regret. Oh my gosh, I want to live a life without regret. So then I read this, and it changed everything for me. Regret's a tough but fair teacher. To live without regret is to believe you have nothing to learn, no amends to make, and no opportunity to be braver with yourself and with your life. Isn't that good? I love that because you know what? I want to learn. I want to be able to make an amend when I need to. It means I never made a mistake. Oh my gosh, good Lord, I'm like the queen of mistakes. So as we look at that, Richard Rohr then says, one of the things, let me read this scripture first, then I'll read the Richard Rohr. As we grow older, we have an opportunity to come alongside those who are younger. So it says here in Titus, you, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older women to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers, see gossips, or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they will urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. I love it that he is giving us instruction as how we can come along and help others. And this little, I see here when they talk about they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and stuff. This is one of those things that any of you that have been married or have been married for a season, marriage is tough. Yeah. Marriage is a day-to-day decision to be committed to that partner that you chose and to love him, forgive him, stand beside all of him. So isn't it nice to know that you can speak into a younger person's life? Even if a divorced person, I can say that, although my divorce wasn't my choice, I can still speak into that. That you can encourage them, just stay the course, keep fighting, you know what I mean? Go through this tough season to get through the next good season. My mother said to me, this is just a little bit of wisdom from my mama. I remember I was 17 years old and I was sitting on the porch at my grandma's house in Oklahoma, and my mama said to me, honey, you know, marriage is just a season of peaks and valleys.
And most people leave in the valley, and they don't wait to get to the next peak, you know? So don't leave in the valley. Well, don't leave at all, unless, well, you know, there's always exceptions to that. But anyway, so that's it. So then Richard Rohr says, juniors in the first part of the journey invariably think that true elders are naive, simplistic, out of it, or just superfluous. They cannot understand what they have not yet experienced. So remember, the younger people, they don't have that experience to reference. They are totally involved in the first task. Remember, that's building their container. And they cannot see beyond it. Conversely, if a person has transcended and included the previous stages, he or she will always have a patient understanding of the juniors and can be patient and helpful to help to them somewhat naturally, although not without trial and effort. That is precisely what makes such people elders. Higher stages always empathetically include the lower stages, or they are not higher stages. Just think about that. I love that. Young people need an older friend in their lives who creates a safe, wise, and non-judgmental space for them. I'm always shocked that the girls want to hang out with me. I get to hang out with some of the naturalists here, some of the interns. Carrie, can we have coffee? And I just kind of want to go, why do you want to hang out with me? You know what I mean? You're just kind of thinking, why? But it's so precious for both of us. And I've learned to take advantage of that opportunity now. Since my youth, David says, oh God, you have taught me, and in this day I declare your marvelous deed. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, oh God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Those of us that have experienced the goodness and greatness of God, we have a calling to share that truth with those who are younger. Because literally, I'm in a place in my life where I've had enough junk happen to me, where God has bailed me out, that you cannot convince me that that was not the divine hand of God, right? So those of us that can't see, we know the truth of what we can't see, need to help those who don't know yet. And we need to, I mean, if David's doing it, then I think that's a good calling for all of us. Another Richard Rohr truth that's articulated, and this one I put in the book because I really wanted you all to see it. He says, the language of the first half of life and the language of the second half of life are almost two different vocabularies, known only to those who have been in both of them, right? The advantage of those on the further journey is that they can still remember and respect the first language and task. They have transcended, but also included all that went before. In fact, if you cannot include and integrate the wisdom of the first half of life, I doubt you have moved into the second. Never throw out the baby with the bathwater. People who know how to creatively break the rules also know why the rules were there in the first place. They were not mere iconoclasts or rebels. And the Dalai Lama says, there's a quote from the Dalai Lama I thought was good, learn and obey the rules very well so you know how to break them properly. So we want to run to the finish line of our lives in this Native American aphorism, no wise person ever wanted to be younger. There is much evidence, this is a quote from what I read earlier, there's much evidence on several levels that there are at least two major tasks to the human life. Remember this. The first task is to build that container or identity. That is very much where my son is at right now at 29. And the second is to find the contents that container was meant to hold. God never said that he would stop using us because of age. Think about it. Noah, 600 years old. Holy Toledo, 600. Think about Abraham was 100. And Sarah was 90-ish when she gave birth to Isaac. And it also says that Moses didn't even start his assignment to free the Israelites till he was 80. He hung out from 40 to 80 in the desert with the sheep and the girls and his wife and his sisters and things. Elizabeth was old and well along in years when she gave birth to John the Baptist. Caleb said in Joshua 14, so here I am today, 85 years old, and I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am as vigorous to go into battle now as I was then. I saw this article. We put these arbitrary labels on ourselves, and somewhat so do our society and our culture. Don't let them do that. I found this article from the Huffington Post called Six Things About Aging That Don't Suck. Sorry if the term suck offends you, but that's the name of the book. I had to share them. Having fun doesn't have to stop as we age.
In fact, we can actually have more fun because we have learned what we truly enjoy doing and we don't feel compelled to do the things we don't. Isn't that great? Yeah. She says, I'm not as vain as I was when I was younger. I still like dressing up and looking my best. This is the important part, but my best will never be what it was in my 20s, 30s, and 40s. I'm going to be my best 60 now, right? And it's that prison that keeps us in, I want to look like that. That's the why do we keep doing that to ourselves? Not happening. These are here to stay, pretty sure, you know? Being older also means that you are able to detect the difference in a true friend and a fake friend. She talks, and I won't look at that, but she talks about this in the book, in the article. She talks about just because you have 2,000 Facebook friends doesn't mean you have 2,000 friends. Real friends are the friends that stand by you through the hardships of life. They're the ones that accept you just the way you are. And if they don't, then they're a fair weather friend and they're good for nothing more than liking your status on Facebook. Okay. So four is you learn to value time. I finally learned to say, no, I can't do that. I have something more important to do, which is another great freedom. And you can appreciate the small things in life. She says, I don't miss a sunset. I stop what I'm doing and go in and watch. I find that to be so true. I was walking this spring up Pine, and I came across this camellia bush that was loaded with the most gorgeous camellias, and they were just perfect. And I just was taken in. I had to take a picture. And then I was walking up Ridgeway on that same walk, and the ferns were unfurling. Have you ever seen the ferns unfurl? I mean, they're nothing, and then suddenly they're this massive. I was just captivated. It's those little moments that I would have missed when I was younger because I was on my way somewhere. There's no time to stop and do that. Now there is. You can pass gas in public and get away with it. So she said that. She said that in the article. I just put in all six. She did not use pass gas, but I don't usually use that term. So anyway, here's her last little quote. Her last little quote, which I love this. If you are young, don't dread getting older. There is a universe full of other things to worry about. See what you can do to end world hunger, global warming, or clean up our political and our ecosystems. That should keep you busy and take your mind off things until your next birthday. Stay busy, stay active, and enjoy the ride. You may just find that getting older doesn't suck as bad as some people say it does. How we look at life is always determined by our attitude. Negative people will get more negative as they age, and positive people will continue to look on the sunny side of life. Why do you think so many of us move to Florida? And she said, think positive about getting older. It is a privilege that is denied to many. I had a young woman walk up to me last spring, and she said to me, thank you so much for this seminar. It has been just what I needed. And she said, and I'm thinking to myself, she's 27 probably, just lovely. And I'm thinking, wow. That night after evening session or before evening session started, she came over. She said, hey, Carrie, I just really want to tell you, thank you again, how much this meant to me. And I pulled her out. I went, okay, you have to tell me. Why? Why does this mean this? I mean, you're so young and beautiful and still shiny and tight and everything, you know. And she said, I was diagnosed with incurable breast cancer at 28. She said, I think about aging differently. Wow. Yeah. Perspective, attitude. And she said, I've gone through treatment now and I'm in remission. I'll never be cured, but each day to me is a gift. And that made me think about my little sister dying at 36 years of age. She probably wouldn't mind some gray hair and wrinkles to still be here. Although, heck, she's with Jesus now, you know what I mean? So you never come back from that. Why would you, right? But you think about that. Let's see where we are here. Okay, button this up. One of the things that, I want to read this to you. So it says in Romans, so my dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let's just give our bodies to God and not worry about it so much, right? Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, because that's just going to make us feel bad about ourselves all day long, because we will never achieve the unattainable, achievable, pretend goal of perfection. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's perfect will for you, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Okay, I just got to read this too. This is so good. This is this article called There's No Cure for Growing Older. She says, what I see when I wipe away the shower steam is a face like a well-loved map, softly crinkled in the places it's been most used. I see honest hair, more salt than pepper these days. I see thighs muscled from running, hips softer than they used to be, and the thick calves I've had all my life. It's hard to embrace these changes when society is urging me otherwise. From the ads for hormone replacement that pop up on my computer, to the routine lies women tell themselves with hair dye, collagen injections, and plastic surgery to lift breasts, eyelids, and bellies. What really makes me crazy is not so much menopause is the ever-shifting, often conflicting advice of experts. Take hormone replacements. Nope, better not if you want to save your heart. Swallow soy isoflavones. Oh, but not if you've had breast cancer. Take black cohosh, but be careful of your liver. Or maybe Ambaren, advertised to relieve frustrating menopause symptoms. Really? Could the drug get rid of all the 40-something magazine models who are digitally enhanced to look like they're 25? That alone would probably relieve a few night sweats. She says, but really, I shouldn't be surprised. More and more we see pathology and subsequently a call for medical treatment in all aspects of human existence that used to be just aspects of human existence. Still sad 3 months after your uncle died? Pop some Prozac. Got a six-year-old who can't sit still? Put the kid on pills. Even aging itself, the inevitability we share, if we're lucky and don't die young, with every living creature from zinnias to zebras, is ripe for manipulation. Retin-A to iron out your wrinkles, laser treatments to banish cellulite, so much energy and money expended to tame the wild ride of a human life. The place I'd like to hit the menopause button is not on my menses, which I've never minded that much, and we'll miss when the old egg factory closes down for good. But on our society's terror of human aging, fragility, and change. At the very end of this, she said, she reads this quote from this soap opera. Anyway, long story, but it says, "Your kid's rambunctious. Your unmarried daughter's pregnant. You're sad. But growing older doesn't call for a prescription. Do some Kegels. Eat some kale. Look out the window. Look in the mirror. Learn to love what you see in both places. Keep the lights on. Toss the magazines under the bed and kiss the one who wants to kiss you back." So I love that. Anyway, so a friend of mine sent this to me when she knew I was writing this seminar. I love this article. This look, women grow radical with age. One day an army of gray-haired women may quietly take over the world. So let's not be conformed to what the world says aging is. Let's encourage one another and come together, because we're not going to change it in our lifetime, but we can be part of the groundswell movement as followers of the king who believe a different type of aging is worthy of being honored and recognized. We need to challenge one another. Be brave and courageous in this, because we need to be. Have I not commanded you to be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God goes with you wherever you are. Let's be different than this world. It says, I have want to run passionately with energy and courage in the next 40 years of my life, because I got 40 more years before the bicycle death. Undefined by what the culture says I am, completely defined by who God says I am. Because you know God says I am? God says I'm a saint. I am a saint. I am his beloved. I am chosen. He has chosen me. I am marked. I have a mark on him, and he knows exactly who I am. I have been holy and set apart for his use. I have been forgiven, and that alone is worth the price of admission. I am guaranteed an inheritance that is beyond anything that I can even imagine. I am blameless, and I have so much to be blamed for. I am redeemed. He has bought me back. I am adopted into his family. I am blessed beyond imagination. I am secure. Don't believe the lies. I am secure, and I am predestined. I know exactly where I'm going when this is all said and done. And you can find that in Ephesians 1. And there's this page in Jesus Calling. Oops, I blew past that, didn't I? So he says, I am the resurrection and the life. All lasting life emanates from me. People search for life in many wrong ways, chasing after fleeting pleasures, accumulating possessions and wealth, trying to deny the inevitable effects of aging. Meanwhile, I freely offer abundant life to everyone who turns towards me. As you come to me and take my yoke upon you, I fill you with my very life. This is how I choose to live in the world and accomplish my purposes. This is also how I bless you with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The joy is mine, the glory is mine, but I bestow on them, but I bestow them on you as you live in my presence, inviting me to live fully in you. Progressives are terrible for these kind of things. So it says in Corinthians, this is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and they won't last very long. They're small in comparison, perspective. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, fix our gaze on what cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see last forever. I pray this prayer every day, the serenity prayer. God, grant me serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I'm gonna go past this. I've got that for you, but I wanna read you this and get you out of here. I've got a card I'm gonna send. I found this this super cool poem. Chuck Swindoll was here week 8 of family camp, and he read this poem. And I had lunch with them that day. I said, tell me that name of that poem again. I think it's just beautiful, by Sarah Teasdale. When I have ceased to break my wings against the faultiness of things and learn that compromises wait behind each hardly opened gate, when I have looked life in the eyes, grown calm and very coldly wise, life will have given me the truth and taken in exchange my youth. Isn't that good? I said, oh my gosh, I have to have this for the seminar. It's so good. So I would say, I'm gonna hand these out to you at the door, right as before I pray us out here. Authenticity by Brené Brown. I'm not gonna take the time to read it right now because I'm way past what I told you I'd get you out, but I'll have those for you at the door because I think being authentic, real, genuine, and wholehearted is part of our battle. Right? We need to be that way. So my message from God to you is God saying to you, the beauty of me, ladies, is the beauty of you. God is saying the beauty of me is the beauty of you. And I'm saying to you, the beauty of you is the beauty of him pouring out into this world. Okay? Heavenly Father, Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for these women. Thank you for being present with us. Lord Jesus, help us start a groundswell of truth and life and love that comes through you about the true meaning of what beauty is. Help us live vigorously, passionately, heart-filled lives until the day we come face to face with you, Jesus. Help us not be defined by what the world says and the lies of the enemy. Help us know who we really are in you, Lord Jesus. Help our joy to be coming out of our pores, not from the lines around our eyes. Help us love each thing that we perceive as a flaw. Help us see it as a blessing of our time that we have spent here on earth. I just thank you for the women that have come and chosen to be a part of this weekend, Lord, that you will use their time here, that you will transcend, take the life that they have had this far, transcend it into the coming days ahead, that they can use it and to fill their container with the most amazing wisdom and truth to pour back out onto all those that we meet. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. I'm super sorry about keeping you.